Mike Wilner joins us on the line right now. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ben.
So do you agree that bringing in Johan Santana is a move? If you're not going to make a bullpen move, this is the move you make to allow Aaron Sanchez to go to the bullpen.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think that takes a lot. There's a huge if involved in that, and that's if Johan Santana can actually, A, pitch, and two, pitch well. And,
yeah.
You know, both those things are extraordinary long shots.
Yes. I think the health thing specifically because – but, I mean, they wouldn't have brought him in if they thought it was less than 50-50, right?
I don't know about that. It doesn't cost him anything. If he doesn't make the team, it literally costs them nothing. So it's, you know, this is a guy who wanted an opportunity to see if he can get back healthy. I'm expecting nothing from Johan Santana. I would be thrilled beyond belief, well, maybe not beyond belief, but I would be thrilled if he can actually pitch effectively and, you know, be a member of the starting rotation and make 28 to 30 starts or something like that. But my expectations for Santana are literally zero.
If he makes the opening day roster, though,
he's not going to make the opening day roster.
Okay, right. If he ends up on the 25-man roster at all, though, he gets $2 million, right?
$2.5 million, I think.
$2.5 million. So you're basing. So if he's healthy at all, because it's so difficult with spring training games, Mike. We know this. Every year, there's some spring training Grapefruit League superstar who everybody goes nuts over, and he stinks because he does well in spring training. It has nothing to do. Has no bearing with major league games.
Absolutely correct.
But when you're dealing with Johan Santana, it's all you have to go on. The guy hasn't been in the league for a couple of years.
Right, and just, you know, whenever you're dealing with pitchers coming back from injury, whether they're Johan Santana or anybody else, you want to see how they feel. You want to see how strong they are. You want to see how sore they get the next day or two after. It's all about health. And that's all it's going to be about for Santana. Performance means nothing, and it's just going to be how do you feel.
But isn't he Jamie Moyer at this point? Isn't he another Mark Burley at this? Well,
he might be another Mark Burley.
Yeah,
but I don't think he's Jamie. He's not slow or slowest. But
it is change up,
I mean,
though.
He might be.
It's change up, and it's changing off a fastball that at last report was like topping out at 88, 89. But that was before. Yeah, well, that was a couple of shoulder injuries ago,
right,
as well,
yeah.
Right?
Who knows? I mean, it's all about Johan Santana is a master of the changeup, and that was his deal, and it will remain his deal. So it's all about how much of a difference is there between his fastball and his changeup. If his fastball is 84 and his changeup 72, then fine. But if his fastball is 82 and his changeup 79, then he's going to get killed.
Isn't this a big risk, though, Mike? Because we know how close to the top end of their budget they are, where you're looking at, you know, saving a couple $100,000 on Danny Valencia's arbitration case is like a big deal to this team, and to this management. If he makes this roster, this 25-man roster, and he earns his $2.5 million and then stinks, and then in the American League East gives up bomb after bomb at Rogers Center, and you got to let him go, and you just can't have him as your fifth starter. That's a lot of sunk cost that you could have used on a flyer reliever. What did Axford get? He got a little over two, right?
Four.
He got $4 million. Okay, but there's some reliever that, well, and you know what? If Santana maxes out all his potential, he can get over six, is what I'm led to believe.
Well, then that's fine if he does.
Sure.
Right? You're happy to pay that. But, you know, the difference between giving Johan Santana $2.5 million if you ever give him a major league contract and he stinks and gets lit up, and giving Ronald Belisario $1.7 million and he comes and makes a team and stinks, you know, it's really, that's not that much difference. I would rather, if I'm going to take a flyer, I'd rather take a flyer on somebody who's won two Cy Young Awards.
Yeah, so long ago, though. I mean, being out of the game for so long and shoulder injuries.
He's going to have to prove that he's healthy and pitching effectively if they're going to call him up and guarantee him that $2.5 million.
Shoulder's about the worst thing that you can have if you're a pitcher, right?
Yep, it is the worst thing.
Yeah,
other than, you know, like,
I don't know, your arm is cut off. Yeah, like you're in a hay baling accident or something, right? Yeah, that would be bad.
And even if you only lose a couple of fingers, that's not so terrible.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you could change which side you throw from, right, in the middle of your career as well.
Or you could be like Mordecai Three Finger Brown and be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that...
There's a guy, who's that guy who pitched, I don't remember, in the last 5 or 10 years that was missing, like, the tip of one of his fingers. And
I don't know.
Crazy movement on his pitches.
I don't know, really?
Yeah, I can't remember.
If that's the case, how come more pitchers aren't cutting off the tips of their finger?
Seriously, people should be Ronnie Lotting themselves.
I mean, maybe that's what Brett Cecil keeps doing with the kitchen accidents.
Slowly, but slowly just hammering away at that one finger.
Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It seems, though, Mike, at least that the Blue Jays are trying to get somebody into that fifth starter spot, or trying to at least throw enough stuff. If they're not going to throw stuff at the wall in the bullpen, they're throwing enough stuff at the starter wall to get Aaron Sanchez into that bullpen. Is that the goal? I mean, in a perfect world, if Alex had his druthers, he would like to have one of those fifth starters perform as well or slightly better than Aaron Sanchez. Like, if Aaron Sanchez has the same spring that a Marco Estrada does or a Daniel Norris does in spring training here as starters, wouldn't the preference be to start Sanchez in the bullpen?
So but it's not really about this. Again, it's not about the spring. It's not about performance in the spring. You know, if Estrada and Sanchez have the same spring, then Estrada goes to the rotation and Sanchez goes to the bullpen. I don't think so. I think that if Norris and Estrada both show that they're pitching well and the process is good and they're throwing strikes and you know, there are no big red flags, then you can take them in the rotation and you can move Sanchez to the bullpen. I'm not sure that signing Santana, like, you're reading a lot more into the signing of Santana than I am, for sure. I think it's just, this guy's available. He's been great. He costs us nothing. Let's see. Maybe we can catch lightning in a bottle here. I think, regardless, Norris or Estrada is going to probably break as the fifth starter.
Really? If Santana, well, I know he's not going
to... Santana's not going to be healthy enough to make the team till like the middle of April.
Okay, that's fine.
So let's say, even if Santana was out of the picture, I thought Norris or Estrada was going to be the fifth starter.
And Norris is a guy who, I mean, projects by some people as the better prospect than Aaron Sanchez.
Yeah, most people, but by like a hair.
Yeah. You know, it would be nice to have a guy like Santana, like, kicking around in AAA, but I know he would never do it. But it would be, that's like the kind of starting pitching depth you'd love to have in Buffalo.
Sure, everyone would love to have a healthy 2-time Cy Young Award winner pitching in AAA, but he's got the out, right? If he's healthy and pitching well, then they're going to call him up because he'll leave at the end of April and a million teams will want to use him.
All right, so what?
By the way, someone on Twitter mentioned this, and he's right. Remember Bob Wickman? Former Indian and I think Yankee pitcher as well. He lost part of a finger in a childhood farming accident, and he had incredible movement on his pitches.
Yeah, see, that's not ringing a bell for me, unfortunately. What about this scenario?
In the last decade, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. It was a reliever, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, actually, I kind of remember. All right, what about this scenario? So what you say comes to fruition. They start the season, Daniel Norris is the fifth starter. Pitches pretty well first couple of weeks. Here's Johan Santana.
Santana's ready.
And and Santana's, you know, healthy and he's in extended spring or whatever, and he's ready to make the leap. And the Blue Jays know if they call him up, it's $2.5 million, but maybe they got something, and then it adds to your depth because you can send Norris down, no problem, have him just, you know, percolating at AAA.
Yep.
Now, usually these decisions never have to be made because they're made for you because somebody stinks or somebody gets hurt. But
right.
If that is the decision to be made, is that a dilemma?
Nope.
So that's, you do exactly that. You just call up Santana and you pay the $2.5 million, even with the risk that he might stink. And then that might be $2.5 million you have to eat.
Yep.
You just do it. And then Daniel Norris is at AAA.
Yep. And I'm calling up Santana without even thinking about it. Absolutely.
All right. I'm glad we figured that out. Who's going to be working with you on these web broadcasts, Mike? Do we know yet?
Well, Joe's working with me on almost all the web broadcasts. This TV is stealing him on Tuesday for the opening game.
Yeah.
And TV is going to be stealing him 5 times over the course of the spring. But most, I think all The other four are radio games where Jerry and I will be working and we'll have someone else. I don't know who that someone else will be. I'm hopeful that on Tuesday it'll be Alex Anthopoulos for a portion of the game, Pat Henkin for a portion of the game, maybe Greg Zahn for a portion of the game. I'll ask him because he's in town, but he's not going to be around for all those other games. So basically what I'm going to do is, find people and try to find, ideally, I try to find someone who's not playing that day.
Yeah.
Or who's, a starter.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, like,
do you think they do that?
Stroman or Hutchinson. I think they might. I think
Stroman seems like he might.
That guys who are not, it's not their day to throw.
Yeah.
Or they know they're not playing that day. I remember 2 years ago, we were in the same boat where I think we were doing a game and I don't know why I needed a guy. Maybe Jack had left for a week or something. And I went and I talked to Mark DeRosa and I said, you want to come do the game? And he said, if I'd known yesterday, I would have done it. But I've got these, I think he was playing golf with a bunch of guys that afternoon. So I'll get them early. I'm hoping to get players. And if I can't get players, then, maybe a Sal Fasano or someone along those lines, a guest coach, someone who's hanging around at the minor league complex after their workouts are done, someone like that. We will definitely have very, 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 very cool and interesting fill-ins for our games.
Yeah, it'll be very.
We don't have Joe.
Yeah, it'll be very nice and good. Who's your dream? Like, if you had your druthers, who would it be? Who's the player you think would be most interesting on these broadcasts? I feel like Stroman might have the most to say.
Yeah, maybe. I'd love to get Batista in there.
Yeah.
But that's, I guarantee you that's not going to happen.
I feel like that would be cliche city as well.
RA would be interesting.
Yeah.
To have.
Yeah, you can have
Kawasaki
him. You can have
would
him.
Be amazing.
Who?
Kawasaki.
Oh, Kawasaki would be great.
Yeah, but I don't think that's happening.
I think you would break the internet, actually. If you Kawasaki for an entire game.
It might break the internet. He might have, there might be 15 English words that he knows.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be that easy, but it would be amazing.
Donaldson seems like a bit of a talker.
I've never met him. So that's not true. I met him last year. Because when the A's were in town, it was really interesting that there was a big cheering section of five or seven fans during batting practice, standing above the A's dugout, just screaming for Donaldson. And I looked at him and I said, "Do you know these people? What's going on here?" I have no idea. He had no clue. And he told me that by the end of the game, there were 30, 40, 50 people who were just all screaming and cheering for him. So that's the only interaction I've ever had with Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, it makes sense. He's good. Russell Martin might be interesting.
Russell Martin would be very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, I think I'm done giving you suggestions. Get one of those guys, though.
It's not like you're not going to be able to talk to me over the course of the next month, so you can feel free to suggest more as we go.
Yeah, we'll probably talk to you even more. Because you'll be down there. I don't know if it's possible, actually, because it's multiple times a week I feel like I'm talking to you on the radio. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Who's this year's Yan Gomes, Mike? A couple of years ago, I'd never even really heard of Yan Gomes, and he kind of blew the doors off in spring training. And he was one of those guys that actually ended up being good. It was not just a spring training mirage, and I thought it might be because he never took a walk in his minor league career, and he was a pretty aggressive guy, but man, that trade does look pretty bad in hindsight.
What are you going to do? He wasn't very good when he was with the Blue Jays, but he certainly has blossomed, absolutely.
Yeah, and a pretty good defender, too. Yep. Do you have any idea about a guy who could be that guy this year that maybe you've heard of, but I've had a pretty good sense. Yeah, I know, but I feel like his name has been mentioned a lot. He's a guy we've already seen stories written about him on sportsnet.ca. Do you know what I mean? Yan Gomes, I hadn't heard anything about Yan Gomes headed into that spring training.
All right.
Had you?
How about Thiago Da Silva? Have you heard of him?
No, I haven't. Who's that?
Thiago Da Silva was the best closer in the Mexican League.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know his name. I knew of him, though.
So he's here. He's something. I mean, maybe, you know what? Maybe Caleb Gindle. I'll give you that.
Okay, I have no idea who that is.
Or Jake Fox, somebody like that.
Who are these people?
These are Caleb Gindle was a minor league signing who's been invited to camp. He's an outfielder, and he's played in the big leagues with the Brewers very briefly. But over his minor league career, he's OPSing over 800, and you know who knows? He's 26.
I've got a he's 26 and a half is what I'm reading.
and in 2000, he's had some big years, and I mean, chances are he's not going to wind up doing anything, but he could have been a dark horse in a Mike Saunders replacement thing if Saunders had been out the 4 or 5 months that they had originally said. So he's your guy. Gregory Infante, though, you've probably heard of him too.
Yeah. I'm looking at a lot of there's a lot of non-roster invitees that I'm not aware of.
Really?
Yeah. Like who is
actually that? De Silva's not on that list. So I guess he's not at big league camp.
Dwight Smith. Who's Dwight Smith?
Dwight Smith Jr. has been in the Blue Jays organization for quite a long time. I follow him on Twitter. You should be following him on Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a first-round pick, but he was a really high-round pick.
He was a first-round pick is what I'm reading.
There you go. And he's progressively gotten better every year, but he was an A-ball last year. So, he comes come in for a look. He's only 22. But I think he's the outfielder that they moved to second base. I think that was him. He's come up as an outfielder, and now they're trying to get him maybe Devin Travis changes that. But he had been asked to start working out at second base.
What's going to be interesting for me is to see the young guys who I've never seen before. I don't know. Have you ever seen Robert Osuna?
I've never seen Osuna pitch. No, I've never seen Infante pitch. I've never seen Castro pitch. Those guys are, three of them are really, really exciting to me.
How much of a look do you think Osuna will get? It's I think part of getting the young guys into big league camp for as long as they can is to give them a look and get them exposed to the fan base. But part of it is as well as to help with their development, I guess, and get them acclimatized to it. How much will Osuna start a game? Will he come in? I mean, it doesn't really matter who starts because the starters come in the middle of games.
Maybe he starts the game against the junior team, or maybe he starts a split squad game or something like that. But he's not going to be in the regular A-game rotation. I think he's out with the first cuts. He's 19 years old, and he just turned just turned 20 earlier this month. So he's there for a look. He's there, like you said, to kind of demystify the whole process a little bit. They see him as someone who could be pitching in the major leagues as early as next year. So why not give him this opportunity? But he's not going to make the team.
AJ Jimenez is not going to be at the at Major League Camp?
Is AJ Jimenez not on the 40-man roster?
He might be. Is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's on the 40-man.
All right, so then he will be there. He is a roster invitee then, I guess. What about Jeff Francis? He might be an interesting guy for the broadcast as well, unless he has illusions of making this team. He might take it pretty seriously.
He may be a very interesting guy to have on the broadcast. That's very true. I think he knows how the deck is stacked and what he's up against, and I don't think he has any illusions that he actually has a decent chance of making the team. He doesn't. But he's good depth. He's good depth in Buffalo. Andrew Albers will be good depth in Buffalo as well.
Yep.
Guys with quality major league experience. It's a good guy to ask. You're right, though, to do one of the broadcasts.
So we should talk about Michael Saunders because that's kind of a big deal.
Apparently.
Yeah, things are better now because a lot of his meniscus is gone. They didn't have to repair it. They just ripped the thing out of him. And I guess you can lop a couple of months off your rehab time when that happens, because he's apparently going to be healthy enough to play in 5 weeks, but he'll need time, you would think, to get his timing and all that. So probably not going to start the season with the Blue Jays. But it changes the whole thinking, Mike, as far as left field, because you might just need a 2-week stopgap. And again, nobody knows if Michael Saunders is going to be able to handle the load every day. But I think, Mike, it boosts Kevin Pillar, even if he just misses a couple of weeks and Kevin Pillar gets a couple extra at-bats that first week of the season, might open some eyes against righties. I think we know he can at least do something against lefties. It's against righties, and it's getting on base. But I feel like he is the biggest beneficiary of the Saunders injury.
Yeah, especially now, because since Saunders is going to come back relatively quickly, you would think, and I'm not a doctor, I don't know the difference between why you would take it out or repair it or whatever, but regardless, they took out 60-70% of his meniscus, and so he obviously doesn't need as much rehab time to, because the tissue doesn't need to repair or to heal. But it helps Pillar, because had Saunders been out for half the season, then you're taking a much stronger look
yes.
at a guy like a Chris Dickerson or an Andy Dierks or a Caleb Gindel, who are not on the roster. And Dickerson is out of options, I'm sure. I don't know about Dierks and Gindel. I would assume, well, I'm not going to assume anything, but I don't know whether or not those guys are out of options, and you don't want to have a guy on the team for a week and a half and then have to put him through waivers and lose him. So that opens the door a lot more for Kevin Pillar, assuming that Dalton Pompey has a good spring and makes the team as a center fielder, for Pillar to get that work for those couple of weeks.
Mike, I imagine you saw the comments from Jose Bautista, and we knew it was going to be a big story, along with Aaron Sanchez bullpen or a starter, is the idea of bringing in leaders and changing the clubhouse chemistry and all that. I want to play the clip again. I'm sure you've already heard it, but for everybody listening, here's what Jose Bautista had to say about the leadership.
You walk around after a loss of a crucial game or a bad, you know, beating that you took, and you know, sometimes you see people and you don't know what they're thinking. I'd rather at least know. You know, I can't say that I can read minds, and I can't say that I thought that guy didn't care. But if I don't know, it makes me think. I look at you, we got our butts handed to us 10-0 or 9-1. I'd rather be able to see you in your body language and your facial expressions and know that you're upset that we got our butts kicked, you know, which with some people in the past, I can't say that was there, without naming any names, and it's not that big of a deal. It's not what led to the seasons we had. It's just something nice to see.
That's interesting, Mike, because Jose Bautista has been that guy on occasion who people have pointed to and said, how come he's not, you know, upset, more upset? How come he's joking around in the clubhouse after a pretty grotesque loss?
I'm not quite sure what to do with this. I mean, he was very, very careful. It was funny to hear him say, "I'm not naming any names," when it's just so completely
obvious yeah.
who he's talking about. But it's not Brett Laurie, for those people who want to jump on that.
Well, you just have to
certainly not.
Yeah.
But and I'm not going to name any names either. Come to your own conclusions. But
I will. I mean, he's probably talking about guys that are gone. So I mean, it's Adam Lind, it's Colby Rasmus, you would think.
But it's what's interesting is that, you know, and he was so quick at the end to backpedal by saying that's not what cost us anything. That's not why we lost games. That's not why we didn't make the playoffs. So he just wanted, I guess, he was trying to compliment guys like Russ Martin and Josh Donaldson,
yeah.
and then realized he's a smart guy, realized how it would sound with the other stuff he said, so he wanted to make sure that he wasn't saying that these are the guys who cost us a playoff spot. But I've always thought that, you know, those shows of emotion on the field, the Paul O'Neill beating the crap out of a Gatorade thing. I've always thought that all those were shows. Just for
not
show.
For Paul O'Neill was just angry.
Well, yeah, but it was also, it was not so much anger, in my mind anyway, as childishness, immaturity, and wanting to show everybody just how angry he was. Now, those sorts of displays, I really think, are self-serving. So, you know, I want to make sure everybody knows I'm not happy, and all the fans talk about what a great competitor I am, so I'm going to do this. But teammate to teammate, it's different. And if Jose Bautista is talking to somebody in the clubhouse and they're fine with getting their asses kicked, then, yeah, that's an issue. And you want to have fewer of those people and more people who are going to be upset after a loss. Now, you know, only as long as it takes you to shower and get dressed and get out of there.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't walk back through the clubhouse all happy, happy, joy, joy after you just lost 13-2.
Yeah, and there was a thing. I mean, as much as I actually kind of like the way he backed it off, because he didn't put the last couple of years on clubhouse chemistry, because I think that's smart. I mean, it's clearly not why they were so disappointing the last 2 years, but I think it did have it affected it in some way. And there's no question there was something wrong with that room last year, Mike. You spent enough time in there and spoken to enough people after the fact that there was clearly something wrong with that room last year.
Right, but if they win one more game a week for the time that Adam Lind, Edwin Encarnacion, and Brett Laurie were all out of the lineup at the same time,
yes.
If in that time period they win one more game a week, they make the playoffs.
Sure.
And nobody's talking about how there's anything wrong with the room.
But they didn't. They did not do that. So the first game is on Tuesday. It's on Sportsnet. Aaron Sanchez starting that thing.
More importantly, it's on Sportsnet.ca.
Yeah, I don't know more importantly, but yes, definitely deserves mentioning. I was going to mention it.
Far more importantly.
Okay. Absolutely. Take it easy. What are you most excited about seeing in that first game? I just want to see Aaron Sanchez and all of it.
Baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jane Lee, who does a great job covering the Oakland A's for MLB.com, the A's are having an inter-squad game today, and Jane Lee tweeted out the lineup card. And
yeah, I saw that.
Awesome.
I saw that. Did you retweet it? How did it end up in my timeline?
No, I did retweet it because it was awesome. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm going to be completely immersed in baseball for 6 weeks, and it's going to be phenomenal. And
6 weeks? More like 6 months.
Yeah, but I mean, like, right now. So let's say after, from this weekend on, for the next month and 5 weeks, there will be nothing but baseball going on.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. But
when you're away from home, I think.
Yeah, definitely. John Gibbons, usually in this first game, doesn't he run out his projected opening day lineup?
Yeah, he does.
So that'll be fun to see, too.
Well, there's no Saunders, so it'll be very interesting.
Well, but there won't be any Saunders on opening day either.
But I mean your regular lineup. It's not going to be necessarily your opening day lineup because CC Sabathia might start opening day, so that could change some things around.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see who's playing first and who's DHing.
Yep.
I have a feeling that Edwin will play first and Deonor Navarro will be DHing Tuesday. I mean. Again, I have a feeling Pilar will be in left and Pompeo will be in center. I would suggest that the lineup on Tuesday will be Jose Reyes leading off at shortstop and then Russ Martin catching and Jose Bautista in right, Edwin Encarnacion at first, Josh Donaldson at third, Deonor Navarro DHing, Kevin Pilar will be in left batting seventh.
Your second baseman is.
Yeah, I think Meiser Esturiz will probably be at second batting eighth, and Pompey will be in center batting ninth.
Last one before we let you go. 3-4-5. Do you go Bautista, Encarnacion, Donaldson, or do you want?
I?
Yeah, or do you want? Well, I mean, you put Bautista second.
I want 2-3-4.
Yeah.
Right, but I know that that's never going to happen.
It did for a bit. Yeah. Bautista hit second a bit. I mean, they did.
Yeah, and he hated it.
Yeah.
And
even though,
you know,
he did well.
As soon as they could. Yeah. He did better than he did when he was hitting third. And he drove in more runs too, but don't you know, tell him that.
Yeah.
I think that's the way it's going to be 3-4-5. I think it's going to be difficult for John Gibbons to avoid the temptation to throw a lefty in there and break it up. But I think that's the best way, unless Justin Smoke just goes out of his skull, and the chances of that are tiny.
Yes.
But you know, I don't want Josh Donaldson hitting sixth.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
So, I was thinking that it might shake down eventually that Saunders earns the two spot, but that's going to take a longer time now.
I don't mind Martin up there. Good on base skills.
We'll see. Good on base last year, but not the 4 years before that.
Well, so we'll good on base compared to his batting average. He's always been able to get on base compared to his batting average.
You know, if you're hitting 230 with a 320 on base, that's wonderful, but it doesn't help me hitting second.
You know who else gets on base? Derek Barton.
Derek Barton does love to get on base. And if Derek Barton winds up being the first baseman ahead of Justin Smoke, and Smoke doesn't make the team, then Derek Barton, hit him second. That would thrill me no end.
Yeah,
but
you can't really hit the baseball all that well. But
but I mean, he could. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put him hitting second on opening day.
No.
But if you, you know, you see that they're having a good year, just like Smoke, if you see that he's having a good year, then maybe you move him up a little bit, but or Saunders, that sort of thing. But Barton is a guy for me who's definitely capable of hitting two.
Oh, it's just so fun to talk about actual game strategy and all that, and we'll have actual games to talk about, I imagine, when we talk next, unless we talk on Monday. But I think we're gonna be doing mostly trade deadline stuff on that day.
Yeah, I think Monday's going to be a pretty busy day on the non-baseball end of things.
I think you're right. All right, Michael, we'll enjoy Florida. Enjoy all the perks of being in Dunedin, including the many Waffle Houses. We appreciate it.
There are no Waffle Houses in delightfully different downtown Dunedin.
Oh, okay. So then enjoy whatever it is that they have in Dunedin.